Greetings, I present to you the SMK, the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope, at CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph, Ontario, and through the web on cfru.ca. I am your Master Overseer, Nicholas Cooper. We will be looking inward and beyond at progressive rock, the branches of progressive, fusion, and alternative genres, an unexpected, joyous anomaly, and other unique discoveries near and far. Join me as we gaze into the audible lens out at the diverse musical landscape on the ever-changing horizon. Welcome, my good sentries, to An Audience in the Observational Tower, the music interview series that I conduct through the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope at CFRU 93.3 FM and on CFRU.ca. In this edition of The Audience, we are skewed to focus our gaze upon Matthew Desner of the Montreal alternative electronic industrial pop unit, Sombra. Back in May, I was able to premiere the music video to Sombra's new single, Casablanca, on May 14th online at Ride the Tempo, a music blog focusing on new Canadian music, which I joined around this time last year. Afterwards, Matthew reached out to thank me for the premiere, and, as he would be in the GTA for the Victoria Day holiday weekend, asked if I wanted to meet up with him and follow up with an interview of sorts. The stars were aligned, and Matthew was able to come to Guelph to the station to record the following interview with me for the SMK. I do declare, across all of my radio interviews thus far, I believe my talk with Matthew was my best and enjoyable yet, as you will soon hear. All in opposition to the facts that I was tired from my first SMK concert curation that took place only a few days previous, on the verge of a sickness that I had since overcome, and I had minimal to non-existent questions prepared, which is so out of character for me. It honestly showcases how much I have grown and adapted as an interviewer. Let us begin with this audience with Matthew of Sombra.
Hello, good sentries. Here in the CFRU recording studios, I have with me Matthew Desner of Sombra. Hey, Matthew.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good. You?
I'm very good. Just passing through Toronto, and I'm happy to come to the studios and have a quick talk with you for sure.
Yeah, and coming to Guelph as well.
Yeah, it's
welcome.
True. I've never been here in my life, but it looks like it's a nice little town. I try and venture around and see what... What do you call someone from Guelph? A Guelphite?
Guelphite, yes.
I get, good guess. Yeah. I grew up in Toronto, but I've never ventured this far.
Oh, nice. We just met like a few moments ago before recording, but I think we do well together.
Yeah, a good exchange. Yeah.
Yeah, I also want to say that I really love your beard.
Thank you. I mean, I've had it for a long time. I think the last time I was like clean shaven was like a good 15 years ago. I'm scared to know what's under there.
Yeah, I think it's been a while for me as well.
Yeah.
But don't get rid of it.
No, I don't plan to.
Well, I wanted you to tell a little bit about yourself. You said you grew up in Toronto,
yeah.
But now you're in Montreal. Why don't we...
elaborate on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Toronto. I went to elementary school here. I moved to Montreal in high school, just kind of following the parents, really. Obviously, I had no choice in the matter. I eventually went to university there, studied communications, Concordia University, and then I fell in love with the city for a lot of reasons. One of them being the fact that playing music and whatever. It's a good city to play music in, and I have had many reasons to come back to Toronto or to go elsewhere in the world, actually, just through work and whatever. And I ended up wanting to stay in Montreal. I've always been connected to stay in Montreal just because of the fact that it has a lot of opportunity in music and sometimes too much opportunity, as we were talking earlier, before the show. But I think it's a... Good. It's a great city to live in if you're trying to make it in the arts and trying to develop yourself artistically. And for that reason, I haven't left for that reason. But I think, you know, eventually I might either move back here for various reasons. But for now, like, I'm kind of really pushing this project that I'm working on. And yeah, no, I'm there to stay for the near future for sure.
Yeah, Montreal is pretty much like a heartbeat or a metropolis for Canadian indie music and experimental. I've actually had a few bands from Montreal that have been attracted to the SMK recently, like Ostrich Bouquet, which I believe you...
We played a show with, we played a show with them, I think, last summer at La Vitrola, which is one of the nice venues in Montreal.
I also had, I got to talk with Dominique of Corridor.
Corridor. I'm not familiar with them. But I'm sure they're great.
Corridor. And then also just recently, I don't know if you've heard of Kazoo Fest here in Guelph.
No.
It's like a DIY indie, but well-known music and arts festival here.
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
I wish I knew about that one. I would have applied.
Yeah, or it's the applications are around the fall.
Oh, great.
Well, so online. So yeah, you should definitely check that out.
I will.
So because Blue Nuit.
I'm good friends with the guitarist, Nicholas.
Yeah. And so I talked with Nicholas and Jan of Blue Nuit when they came to perform at Kazoo Fest.
Wonderful. Nice. They're great musicians. I was like, I was a fan of them back a while ago. They used to be in a band called Eliza.
I think we talked about that in our interview.
Yeah, no, they're great musicians. Super inspiring, actually. I don't know if I ever told them how I'm very much inspired by their music. So, it's funny actually going back. Growing up also in Montreal, my first instrument's actually drums. I grew up playing drums. I switched to guitar. I was in another band called The Fears for a long time. We ended up going separate ways for multiple reasons. Not that it ended extremely badly or anything. It was just that we kind of, at the end, never saw totally eye to eye. And meanwhile, I was writing my own music on the side, pretty much just on my computer, a very digital, like...
Bedroom, more like even
coffee shop sometimes. Just going, bringing the laptop, not even a MIDI keyboard or anything, just like writing on freaking computer keyboards and whatever. Like, honestly, it was... it started really, really rough, and I was just playing around with like sounds and I think pretty essential to any music I write is a lot of melody, and like kind of take from like Tame Impala and stuff in that way. It's probably one of my bigger inspirations.
We can go into more of your musical inspirations. Personal in your. And Sombra.
For sure. I mean, I think that was always very essential to me. And like, I felt like playing drums, I wasn't able to obviously build upon that side of my musical creativity. And I still love playing drums. That's why I kind of brought to this, is that way back when Blue Nuit was starting, I was almost maybe going to be their drummer for a bit. I was like talking with the guys and we were just kind of back and forth for a bit, and they ended up finding somebody that had the time really to put to it. I was putting time to a lot of different things, and I was doing some traveling. It was like, it just wouldn't have worked out, but whatever, that's all good. I'm really happy that they're doing pretty well, considerably well right now. I think like I started recording this stuff, and then like as the band broke up, I was like, okay, I'm gonna take it a little more seriously and actually try and do this. And I was playing guitar as well at the same time, and kind of just ended up saying, well, I need to, I'm gonna start doing this. And I kind of got a little lucky that I didn't really have the money to spend too much on it at the time. develop the project in that way. And luckily I met some guys at a studio. So I was doing work, like my business work, freelancing. I do video and graphic design on the side. And I met these guys at a studio that are starting up a music studio, basically a label. And they really liked the music. And basically they were like, listen, they have contacts more in film and TV. They don't really have much of a market in Montreal kind of thing. They're really new here. And they've worked on like film, TV, and video game stuff. But they love music. They wanted to get into it. So they offered me like a kind of a non-exclusive deal just to like help promote it and push stuff. And they could, meanwhile, while helping me promote within Montreal, they could try and make money off selling some tracks to film and TV and stuff like that. Video games as well. So it's been really good because I was able to sign that and kind of get a bit of funding from them because they really believe in the music and everything. So that was really nice and kind of helped kickstart the project a bit more than I expected it to, and got like an EP started to be recorded and everything. And then I was like, listen, I want to play this stuff live. And I met two great musicians who helped me convert it into live stuff as well. And that's kind of how Sombra started.
So it started off as your solo project.
It did, yeah. It did. And it like, I still do most of this songwriting. It still is, like, it's not that it's my project. Like, the band, they help, and they do a lot of... Once the song is written in a demo form, which is kind of what I have, like, right now, when I was traveling, it was, like, I wrote all my demos kind of thing. I was just traveling Australia for a bit, and I was doing a lot of music songwriting, and I wrote most of the demos while I was there and finished them up. And now the band comes and we totally like take it and make it, you know, just better and give it new life kind of thing. And like, yeah. And I think it's good because I've never been, in a way, I'm not, when it comes to music writing, I feel like I'm not enough of a perfectionist. I'm very like, I have ADD. I'm like, on to the next idea, on to the next idea. I don't perfect what I have. So, like, it's really nice that I feel like my bandmates are, and they take over in that way at times. Like, and that's great.
Yeah, that's
and I
really
love
good.
That.
I always find, for me, I'm too much of a perfectionist trying to get it done.
I think it's funny because it depends what I'm doing. Sometimes I could be an insane perfectionist, but, like, when I find when it comes to creativity, it's like I always want to keep going and I always want to. And then, like, only recently, and this is something that I was saying music is really training me to be, it is training me to step back and be like, is this how I imagined it? Is this what, like, too often I'm working on something and it's like, I have an idea in my head and then, like, it comes out a little different. And then I'm like, oh, I like that too. Go. Like, good to go. Like, and I you know what? There is something to be said about, you know what, just stepping back and, like, making it exactly the way you're imagining it. And it's not easy to do that. So I think with this coming album, I'm trying to do that a little more. I'm trying to change my ways a bit. And, yeah.
Yeah. So actually for, I guess right now, the guitar is your main instrument now?
Yeah. Well, live for sure. Like when it comes to the recording, like in some of the demos that, I'm personally working on, I'm doing most of the writing as in like all the instruments, but then it's converted to like when the band comes in, they will kind of when it comes to the recording, they'll generally play it again and redo. So like I'm playing a lot of instruments, for the writing of the music, but when it comes to live and like what's actually me on the recordings, it's generally the guitar, some of the samples and back and the production is generally me. For the most part, and then vocals, of course. But yeah, the guitar is my instrument for live now. Yeah,
yeah. Your vocals are really good, I should say.
Thank you. thank you so much.
I have to admit that haven't listened to all of your output yet. Just the newest single, Casablanca.
Totally fine.
Yeah, but I'll surely get into the rest of your discography before the new album.
Awesome. Yeah. We had the EP that was released basically before the band. Before, like, it was finished before the band, so it was all me. Everything was on the tracks. It's pretty much just my own writing. And I like it. I definitely like, there's the one track on it. There's two tracks on it. I'm still really happy with. Two of them less so, but that's just because we've developed, I think, since then a bit. But like there was like the title track, the first track on the EP. We still play that at the shows all the time, and I'm still really happy with that song.
Or what's the EP?
So the EP was actually just self-titled, just Sombra. Okay. It was like Sombra in lowercase, and we were Sombra in uppercase. I don't know. Honestly, it was a stupid idea for SEO or whatever. Sorry. Stupid idea to actually promote it in a way. I wouldn't do that again, especially because Sombra is like, there's way too many Sombras in like Latin America.
Yeah, where did the name come from?
Honestly, it was bad. Names are hard. I was like,
because you have to choose and you have to stick to it, kind of.
Yeah. No, it was for me. Kind of when it was a solo project, I was very. I was trying to find something that kind of took in the character of the music and something that took in. And I like one word. I always like one word band names. I found it was just like straight to the point. Like I'm not huge on the really long ones. Maybe two is fine as well. But like I don't know. I actually growing up, I was very like I don't know. I thought it was so cool that it was like dark. I was just like I always thought it was like I was like, am I, you know, what was your email? What was your like kid email growing up? Did you have one? Like your first email? Do you know what it was?
Yes.
What was it?
Sir Kibble.
Sir Kibble at MSN. Okay. So me was like, it was always like Super Shadow, like zero or something. It was like really like stupid, like emo kid, dark, but that's okay.
Sir Kibble is actually a Kirby character.
Oh, there
from
you
Nintendo.
Go. There you go. I think me was Shadow from Sonic. So I was like, I'm just going to like make fun of that in a way and like, you know, be
edgy.
Be like edgy, but ironically edgy. Mm. So I think that's where Sombra came from. And honestly, like, yeah, no, I still like the ring to it. So, but yeah, no, I'm definitely looking forward to when we put this album to have, it's going to have a full title and everything. So it's not going to be just like, I can tell people like search for Sombra with the album. Cause if you're like in Montreal, you'll find it Sombra by itself. But like, if you're around the world or something, it's going
to
be hard.
Harder to dig through.
Somebody's going to be like, do you do like, I don't know, some kind of like mariachi music or something? It's like, no, that's not us.
No. Would you consider that?
I mean, if it all works out, I can give it a different vibe. I'll give it an electro vibe, you know, mariachi electro. That's a new genre. I don't know. I mean, I'm open to like, I think growing up, I was very, very like, picky at music. I was very actually like I listened to like what I listened to, and I was like I didn't vary my inspirations, but like now I'm like I've, you know, one of my I can't wait for actually, I mean, Oshiaga, I can't wait to see like Childish Gambino. I'm like super into, okay. I get into like hip-hop as well, and I get into pretty intense progressive stuff as well, and I get into like I think like there's one track on the album I can't really share too much about now, but it's cool. I'm happy with this one. I like the vibe of it because it has like very like hip hop-y start, and then it has this like I don't know, this like metal outro. I don't even know where it came from, but it's like it has a lot of different vibes kind of thing going on in it, and pretty happy with that one.
Yeah, that'll certainly have a place on the SMK radio waves.
Cool.
Or actually, now I guess bringing up those like influence is that from growing up and I guess now, what is your opinion on progressive music?
I mean, I love progressive. I've always like I listened to a lot of like Porcupine Tree and.
Have you seen Steven Wilson live?
I haven't. I would have loved to. I don't know if he's playing. Is he still playing shows?
He just came by. Maybe it was just last year. He came around twice. At least I know from in Toronto.
Okay. Yeah. No. I mean, like I think no. I definitely would have. I there was a few albums I totally loved. In Absentia, was that one?
Yeah. In Absentia.
Yeah. That I loved that album growing up. I listened to a lot of. I think my music taste has gone like. Lighter as I've kind of like my inspirations are like I have a lot of still heavy inspirations, but I feel like I've kind of I've diversified for sure. But like I definitely like that. I liked what else did I like? I don't know if there's this band from Ireland, I think, that I really love called Amplifier.
Oh my, yes,
you know Amplifier. Yeah, it's cool. I don't know many people that know Amplifier.
Mysteria, I think, is one album. They just released a more current one.
So I'm not, I to be honest, I haven't listened to anything new from them. I did, like, I loved, there was an album called The Octopus by them that I, like, that album. So I definitely had some, like, really, like, obscure, like, dark stuff that, like, you know, but I know if I tell anybody on the street, you know, this band called Amplifier from, like, it'd be like, the hell.
I think we're best friends now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like I love that album.
Oh, masters of the universe, won't you please reveal the secrets of the octopus inside me, which I feel. Forever patiently, bones of your.
Hey, this is Matthew of Sombra from Montreal, and you're listening to the SMK, the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope at CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph, Ontario, and through the web on CFRU.ca.
Hear the sound of music drifting in the aisles, elevator Prozac stretching on for miles.
Music of the future will not entertain. It's only meant to repress and neutralize your brain. So sound of music comes in silver pills, engineered to suit you, building cheaper thrills. The music of rebellion makes you want to rage, but it's made by millionaires who are nearly twice your age.
When it comes to song, I think Sombra is supposed to be a blend of kind of a balance between some of that obscure stuff. Like, obviously, one of my biggest inspirations was Nine Inch Nails as well. I mean, that's like a pretty obvious one, I guess, listening to some of the music. Mm-hmm. Maybe not Casablanca as much. First album, first EP, definitely. Kind of tried to break away from some of the obvious connections as well, like after that first EP. Like, trying to diversify the sound a bit and like really want to find it our own. I feel like I was doing a lot of like comparative listening and like trying to like, I like the sound of that, I'm trying to emulate that, but I don't want to do that anymore. I'm kind of trying to find the own sound, and still it's a working process, I guess, finding that. But like, yeah, no, the inspirations came from stuff like that, Nine Inch Nails, old Muse, Radiohead, stuff like that. Definitely stuff like Amplifier and Porcupine Tree. And I think, but when it comes to like the musicianship, and that is like extremely complicated stuff that they're doing. And I like as well the beauty of simpler stuff, like listening to a lot of indie rock, like Strokes, like
something like Sustained.
Yeah, Interpol, stuff like bands like that are that kind of do a lot of, you know, simple but like driving stuff as well. And like, I think that's become a big inspiration as well. So, and then like, you can blend that with, I think something that Sombra tries to do is like, myself with the vocals, is kind of not poppy melodies, but melodies that are not extremely complex, but to that over some complexer and darker undertones that like, it's not something that it's trying to be something a little, you know, a little unique and something that can appease like a wider audience, but not like a full, like not a particular one only. Like, and I think diversifying is, it's interesting, and it also might, you know, it might not make your music as niche, but I don't know. I mean, maybe it is. I don't know. I feel like in my head, it's hard to describe sometime, like, I think it's better to, I like looking at other people, what they think of the music, before I like describe it myself. Like, I have, it's hard to describe something you,
yeah,
make.
How would you describe Sombra?
And no, it's not a hard question. I mean, right now, if I look on the, it was on the Instagram. I can't remember where. Anyway, but it was something like industrial, alternative electronic pop, like with undertones. Like I don't know. Like I like clarifying it as a lot of different things, just because I feel like we're trying to connect with a lot of different styles. But I mean, to simplify it, I would call it industrial. But like, yeah, you have to give it that electronic, you know, art pop style as well, maybe.
I get that sense.
Yeah. It's difficult. It's difficult. I don't know who makes genres, but I feel like there's this like mad scientist in his bedroom just writing all these like lists, like psychedelic Christian rap. I don't know. Like, yeah, it's like, okay. Yeah.
So you haven't actually mentioned your bandmates' names yet. Why don't you get that opportunity now?
Yeah. So I met through another friend, another guy I was jamming with. I had met this guy, his name Kyle Andrews, and he became the drummer. But so basically, he really liked the music at the start. He had the thing is with the drums, we're pretty particular. We needed somebody who would have like a sampling pad, because we don't want to, like, some bands would maybe just play it live with real drums, even if it's not in the recording with real drums. But I think we wanted to try and give it like a similar vibe live, especially this is pretty electronic led, especially that first album was very electronic led. The new album's gonna have a little more live drum on it.
A little more rock texture?
Yeah. I mean, not that, it's not that it's more rock texture. I think it's just that we want to get, I like the sound of a live drum. Like at the end of the day, and it was easier. The debut EP was pretty like a bedroom, like you said, so it was a little easier just to not deal with live drums.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I think we want to do this one. We're putting a lot more time into this one, and so he ended up joining us in it was like in February ish. Started jamming with him January, February.
Of last year?
So the year when the EP was first released, the 2018 EP. So 2018. Actually, it was like end 2017 we met, basically. And then 2018 really started jamming. We had a different lineup for a bit. We had actually a bassist at the beginning. And we were kind of a little more rocky. And I was doing some sampling, a lot more sampling as I was playing and playing a little less guitar. That kind of changed. I wasn't happy with the sound. We ended up parting ways with the bassist, and it was me and Kyle, and we were like, okay, we need to find a synth player. Kyle, meanwhile, was playing in this other band called Captain Relapse. They since broke up, and then he started spending more time. We're working a lot more with Sombra, and then we ended up through an amazing friend and wonderful person in the music scene in Montreal named Josh Spencer, who runs Kick Drum Montreal, which is a great promotional company within Montreal. And he knows like everyone playing music in the city. He was like,
yeah, you said there's a whole website.
Yeah, I can talk. I can give him a little shout out after. But yeah, so anyway, he knew someone named Henry Rabelais, and he was playing in two bands at the time. His solo project, which he still plays in, and they're really good folk, a lot more chill music, folk ambient, but really nice too, called Aquarius Dreams. And so he's playing in that project. It was a solo project, and he was playing in I don't know how to describe them, kind of a blues, heavy blues, like indie, I don't even know how to explain it, a band called The History of Gunpowder. And they broke up, kind of. I think they parted ways. Their singer was leaving for a bit, and Josh from Kick Drum knew that Henry was out of that band, so maybe he'd be looking for another project, and he put us in touch, and Henry came to band practice, and it was pretty much history since. Like, it was good. He brought our lineup now, and it really hasn't changed since then. When he came to the practice, he brought like a Nord, like synth, like pretty classic, like stage Nord stage, and he had his for bass synth. He had his microcorg. And he brought those, the first jam, and he's like, guys, I'm actually down. I have this thing called, the synth called the Prophet. So I don't know if you know it.
Oh, I've heard of it.
Definitely, yeah. Prophet 08. It's an amazing synth. He's like, I'm kind of down to try it for this project. And he's like, yeah, dude, just bring it. Like, whatever, man. We're open. And he brought it and, like, loved the sound of it with our music. And it pretty much fits since. So
what kind of sound does it make?
It's a lot of different sound. It's just a very good poly, like, synthesizer. And it's used by, if you know, James Blake.
The name's kind of familiar.
It's like also kind of chill electronic. He uses it. I love the sound of his music. It's a little more folky as well, it's pretty well known synth. It's pretty like legendary. So he brought that. It worked perfectly with the microcorg for bass. Kind of, it's a really big sound. And that was always a thought for me, like, do we want a live bassist? Do we want, like, a regular bass? Or do we want electronic bass? And I feel like electronic bass just worked for us, at least for now. Maybe I've always kind of played with the idea of maybe in the future incorporating maybe some, like, live bass on some of the tracks, perhaps, and then I might pick up the bass for that. But I don't know. I mean, not for now. Like, it worked really well. We found – and it worked in most of our songs. So it was that lineup for him playing those two synths. Then I was playing guitar and doing some, like, I have an Ableton push connected to Ableton, like, at all the sets, and I was doing some sampling live at the front as well, which might cut down for the future stuff. Kind of really want to, like, take it, like, straight a little more, a little less. I feel like we're really, when we're connected to that, we're really stuck to the click and always, like, very, and, like, that's fine for our music. But, like, I just want it to be a little more – I want to have a little bit more freedom up front and not being,
like,
worried.
Like, too attached to technology.
I feel like it's, like, we're having two laptops on stage or whatever. It's, like, a little much. Like, I think last time we played a show for the single release for Casablanca last weekend. And, like, at one point during, like – it was a four-band show. We got on pretty late and – by the time we went on, somehow my computer got unplugged. So it, like, turned off. And I was like, I'm going on stage. And it's like, oh, crap. My computer is dead. I got to, like, turn on, like, restart everything. Like, it's just, I don't want to deal with that.
That's stress.
I'm just like, I want to simplify. So I think future sets might cut that down a bit. I might have, like, some kind of all-inclusive sampler or stuff up front. So I don't need a laptop. It's going to be maybe just in back. The drums are going to – Kyle is an awesome drummer, and he's, like, the brains behind Sombra when it comes to the live shows and everything. Like, and in a way, even in some of the recordings, like, he's just, you know, kind of making sure he makes everything work to a certain extent. And that's, like, really good for me because, like I said, I'm AD kind of writing a lot and moving on kind of thing. I can get
to – Doing a lot of stuff.
So I think for the live kind of he's doing that. He's playing an SPDSX, so it was essential that we had this sample pad. So he's playing the SPDSX, which is like a drum sampler, basically. So he's doing that, and he has a live drum set, and then he will probably be running samples as well. So he's kind of just the brains, like I said. I'm going to be pretty much straight singing and playing guitar up front. Maybe another instrument here or there, but really just want to keep it like that so I can really focus on, you know, just the performance and whatever and, like, having a great time on stage, because I do think that's really important in playing music. Is not, I don't want to be thinking about, like, you know, I'm like at the end of one track, I'm just like, I'm screwing with my pedal basically, and doing a bunch of the delay stuff. And then I have to, like, make sure I jump up onto the stage to, like, hit the button on the sample pad to, like, cue the next, like, part or something. And it's like, if not, Henry's not going to be nowhere to play. It's like, I don't want to be the brains, like, in that way up front. It's too much. Too consuming. Just want to enjoy the performance and, like, focus on the guitar and the singing. And the vocals are pretty melodic and, like, kind of, it's not like I do, like, want to do my best to have a good performance in that way. So I, like, it's important to me that it's not just like, you know, an amateur sound. Like, I want it to, like, I really want it to develop, and I want it to have a different feel than the album as well for the live, but not, but also make it sound like it's the same project, you know?
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, I've seen some bands and it's like I love the recordings, and then live it's like, okay, this is great too, but it's like almost, it's so different, you know?
Yeah. Or going back, like right now you said like sampling is a main thing. So what kind of samples do you guys use in like in your music and on stage?
Yeah. I think like there's a lot of, I mean, there's different kinds of stuff. There's like, I think for live as well, there's like some in-between track stuff. We kind of like take into, like, I kind of like to keep the sound going on stage. I think that's one thing I really enjoy. I don't like to have like silent moments.
Like, so it'll make the concert or your performance like cohesive and
exactly
flowing.
I'm not a big for like too much talk between songs and stuff. I'll say a few words here and there, but like, I think it's, I like that. I like just having a cohesive, like everything fits kind of like, and it all sounds like it all flows and whatever. And like some of the best concerts I've ever seen, like they always do that. They've always like, you know, just it's nonstop sound, and it's just, it keeps you on your feet. And like, it's always nice to hear, oh, I know that song when it starts. And it's like, sometimes there's a bunch of noise before. So yeah, no, that's important to me. And yeah, no, some of the samples are, it depends. It kind of, I'm trying to think for one, for instance, like for, I mean, there's a track that we've been playing live for a while called Animals. We did a live recording of it. So it's not on Spotify, but it is on, I think, Bandcamp. And it's also
Bandcamp's
on,
the best.
Bandcamp is great. anybody interested to listen to our music, I would say, I mean, it'd be nice if you follow us on Spotify, just because unfortunately, if you're there, it's the reality of the situation, but you feel free, the music's on Bandcamp to buy, and we have merch and stuff on there as well. So
yeah, support artists directly.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, I know we'd be very happy, and once we are planning to make physical copies of the album that we're working on. We'll talk about that more after you want.
Yeah, we will.
So once that does happen, that will obviously be accessible on Bandcamp. So, so some of the samples though, like that we use on, like, there's that track Animals I was saying is, like it's kind of very, that song is kind of about replacing human emotions with like computerized stuff. And I think some of the samples are, just I find a texture or something that kind of evokes that emotion to me, and kind of just, you know, give it try and give it new life.